The last couple of months, Lisa and I have gotten into an interesting TV series. It's on HBO, and it's called Westworld. Oh, good, we have some fans out there. You're going to like the sermon. The rest of you, I hope you're going to like the sermon. The series is set in a fictional place called Westworld, which is a technologically advanced, Western-themed amusement park of sorts. Westworld is a page right out of the quintessential Wild Wild West, except that Westworld is populated almost entirely by synthetic androids. They're robots, but they look exactly like human beings. In fact, you can't really tell which are the humans and which are the androids, which becomes part of the storyline. Here's how it works. Rich human guests pay big bucks to vacation at Westworld because the androids there are programmed to service every need of the human guests, including accommodating their fantasies, whatever they may be. What's more, humans can do anything they want to, because in Westworld, the human guests are guaranteed not to suffer any negative consequence because of their actions. In Westworld, humans can act as immorally as they want, and they often do, which means, by the way, that this is not a show for children. In Westworld, humans are free to do anything they want because there's no threat of being injured or arrested or punished in any way. For example, guns are plentiful, but bullets never hurt humans in Westworld. Now, the androids appear completely human, as I said, and so they look fearful if they're threatened. They appear to bleed, even to die, if they are shot. Even though they're not real, it looks like they're real. And this setting in which the human guests can do anything they want, well, let's just say it does not bring out the best in most of the humans who visit Westworld. For example, if a human guest is in a saloon playing poker, like they did all the time in the Old West, and he loses, or he thinks that the other player has cheated, he can just jump up and whip out his gun and go to town. In fact, something like that happens in one scene. And when the guy is done shooting up the place, he looks down at his smoking gun and he says, "Now that's a vacation." By the way, tell me the truth. Is this the weirdest Christmas Eve sermon you've ever heard? Yeah. If you've brought your family or your friends, you're getting a little nervous right now. You want to lean over and whisper in their ear, "She is not usually this weird."
Yes, she is.
But then you think... That's right. Oh, Westworld is a pretty creepy reality, one that we're not yet technologically advanced enough to create, though we're getting pretty close. It's really an extension of virtual reality, disturbingly reminiscent of how some people play violent video games. In Westworld, just like in a video game, the androids are seen as expendable. They're not real. They're not human. But as you can imagine, Westworld presents a pretty bleak picture of human nature. Things get really interesting as the show progresses, and some of the androids begin to exhibit some surprising behaviors. They start becoming more self-aware, for example. Whenever an android is hurt, it's returned to the lab to get fixed up and sent back out again. And when that happens, they do a sort of a software update that resets their memories, that gives them a clean slate. And at some point, for reasons the scientists can't understand, some of the androids start retaining memories. The software update isn't working anymore. The androids begin to develop some sort of higher consciousness. The androids are becoming human. Each of the androids has been given a sort of backstory about who they are, where they came from, so that they can interact convincingly with the human guests as if they are real people. And in one episode, there's an android named Dolores who's back in the shop getting fixed up before she'll be sent back out into Westworld. And she's talking with one of the scientists who oversees how the androids function, you know, make sure they're working properly. And she is discussing her backstory about the death of her parents. And the scientist leans in and listens closely. He's sort of drawn in by this backstory, even if it has been programmed into her, even if she is an android. He is a man of compassion, and he can see that the death of her parents is causing her a great deal of pain, which is also surprising to him. And he says to her, "Dolores, do you want me to take your pain away?" He can do that with the push of a button, with a quick adjustment to her programming. But she says something really surprising to him. She says, no, I want to keep my pain. She says the pain makes her feel spaces opening up inside of her. She says it's like I am a building with rooms that I've never explored before. Another android begins to develop higher consciousness because she can feel a bullet that the scientists left inside of her by mistake when they were patching her up, right? And even though her memory has been cleared, she can feel it's still in there, and it hurts. It's the bullet inside of her that awakens something within her. Okay, story time is over. That's all I'm going to tell you about Westworld. If it appeals to you, go and check it out. But I think what fascinates me about it, the reason why I'm talking about it tonight, is that Westworld is a story about what it means to become human, what it means to be human. The androids becoming human has something to do with pain. Their pain in itself leads them toward humanity. And in the Christmas story that we sing and proclaim tonight, our story, it is God who becomes human. And just as in Westworld, God becoming human has something to do with pain. The story of the birth of Jesus that has been handed down to us, well, it reads a lot like fantasy. Only with difficulty can it be considered history. A virgin miraculously becomes pregnant. An angel appears to announce the birth. A baby king is born in a shed, and a star simply stops in the night sky to mark the spot. The shepherds in the field are dumbstruck as they look up to see a heavenly host of angels proclaiming the birth in the night sky. I mean, depending on what you believe, this sacred story may be more fiction than fact. But whether you understand the Christmas story as metaphor or as history, we all are drawn together into the power of the story, drawn into the sacred mystery that God becomes flesh. And even if you consider it metaphor, it is then a true story, for it proclaims a timeless truth. It was Albert Camus who said, "Fiction is the lie through which we tell the truth." So whether you believe a virgin gave birth or that Mary got pregnant the good old-fashioned way, we can agree on the power of this holy story to express the timeless truth. God appears in flesh. God becomes human. God with us. God as us. And the process has something to do with pain. For all of the aspects of what it means to be human, perhaps none is more transformative None is more universal than the experience of pain. The Buddhists say that life is suffering. Jesus said, in this world you will have hardship. To live is to know pain. And I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. And even on this tender night, when unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, we know the story of where Jesus' life will lead. He will know betrayal and loss and pain, just as we, every single one of us, will know betrayal and loss and great pain. The story of our faith, however, proclaims another timeless truth, that pain is not the final answer, not for Jesus and not for us. Because after Jesus' death will come resurrection, which means that in a few months I'll meet you back here and we'll be sitting here with our Easter bonnets on, well, some of us at least, and we'll talk about that part of the story. Tonight, it's all about the miracle of incarnation. God becomes flesh. God becomes human tonight. And that is perhaps one of the most important gifts of the Christian tradition, this idea of incarnation, of becoming human. Incarnation, what's the $17 church word for God with skin on? Or as John puts it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. And this Christmas story is such a simple and human story about a baby being born under painful circumstance. Any woman who has ever given birth to a child knows something of the pain that goes along with it. We celebrate the incarnation tonight, but truth be told, I really don't believe that incarnation happened for the first time in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And that may be when Christians took notice, when we tend to mark it in our minds, but surely God has always been joined with humanity. Humanity has always been of God. And I mean all of humanity, not only Christians. As theologian Richard Rohr says, the incarnation actually happened about 14 and a half billion years ago with a moment we call the Big Bang. Maybe that's when God cried out in labor pains. And then it happened again with Mary in the pain of childbirth. And again with Jesus on the cross. And again with you and me in the pain-filled experiences in our lives that mark us, that make us human. This process of becoming, of birthing something new into the world, well, there's no way around it. It requires a good amount of groaning. And like Dolores on Westworld said, pain opens up rooms within us that we are afraid to explore. Yet it is in our pain that we both know who we are and that we are profoundly transformed. So on this night, when we gather together as a community, my prayer for you is that you may know that God is with you in your pain, no matter the circumstance of your life, whether you are happy or hurting, rich or poor, hopeful or despairing, alone or surrounded by family and friends, God is with you. God becomes human in you. On this Christmas Eve, may the presence of God within and the embrace of this community without gather you in warmth and peace. May we all have the courage to befriend the pain within us, to see what it has to teach us. May we recognize its role in our transformation, of birthing something beautiful into the world, in this act of becoming more human and more divine. Amen.